Paul said, my God. You know, we say the Lord, but I believe a better term for us would probably be, should be, our Lord. But Paul said, my God. He had enough confidence in his God. Their God is well, but he was owning him. And he had tried him. And he had leaned upon him. And he had put everything, all of his weight, all of his hopes. He says, I count everything as dung or nothing that I may serve Christ. He had thrown everything else away. He was relying upon nothing else. His hope was in nothing else. His sustenance was coming from nowhere else. He says, I've learned in whatever condition and state that I am therewith to be content, because he knew that his God could supply all of his needs. The Philippians weren't rich people. They were in the Macedonia area. They were not as the church of Corinth and the other churches. They were probably some of the poorest of all of the churches that he established and set up. But he told them, he says, as far as communicating with giving, I heard only from you. And from the moment that he left the Macedonia area, he heard only from the church of Philippi. He says, and not only did I hear from you once, I heard from you time and time again. But he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that you may be full and abound with everything. Now, I want to turn over to Genesis in the 22nd chapter and 7th verse. And this was when Abraham had taken Isaac up to offer him up as a sacrifice. A very tense, trying time for Abraham. But it says in Hebrews, in 11th chapter, that he was convinced that if he had to perform this, that God had commanded, that he could raise him up again. So Abraham was fine with this, and Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, that only son, from thee. And Abraham lift up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is to say, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, and many different names were given unto God as to the things and how they relate to certain situations. But it means the Lord will provide. And that is what Paul was saying to those of that little church of Philippi. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh is my God. Jehovah Jireh is able. Jehovah Jireh is omnipotent. Jehovah Jireh is boundless in what he can do. And Jehovah Jireh will see to all of your needs and all of your circumstances in all things. He didn't say that some of them or not much of them or some of them, but he said, but all of them. Lean hard upon the Lord. That's what he wants. You say, well, I don't want to bother him. It bothers him when you don't. And Marisa has learned to trust me more as as the head of her house than that night there when my bullets fell out on that TV set. She's not as alarmed anymore when something is out there. She knows that I'll do my best to try to take care of us, as limited as I am. But it says that he is able. We make promises sometimes we can't keep. We make promises we can't physically perform. We make promises either from time restraints or economic restraints or some other restraint. I'm sorry, I intended to do that, but I see now that I can't. That's not what God is saying, that he is able according to his riches in glory. Now, I never thought about it that much, and I had memorized this verse from when I started preaching, and I started trying to memorize verses, and this is one of the very first ones that I memorized because it meant so much to me. According to his riches in glory, not from his riches or out of his riches, but he will supply our needs according to his riches, saying that he can abundantly supply our needs, and according to his riches would mean that it is limitless. According to his riches would mean that there is no restraint there. According to his riches mean that he is wanting to bless us according to what he has in glory. People say, well, it's talking about blessing us in glory. No, he's talking about blessing us right here, today, in this time, and in all times with his people. He's talking about blessing us according to the riches that he has. Now, there is not a need that you have, whether it is monetary, whether it is spiritual, whether it is anything else that's going on in your life. There is not a need that he cannot provide to you and for you. Jesus Christ can be and is all things to all people. If there's a place where friends are lacking in your life, he can be that. If there's a place where something else is lacking in your life, he can be that. As the song says, little is much when God is in it. When we see Elijah going to that widow woman's home, and she had just enough to bake up some little cakes for her and her son, and Elijah says, make mine first. And he stayed there for many months, and the cruse of oil did not run out, and the meal did not lessen, but obviously increased on a daily basis. So, God is in control of everything, and how that God sent those quail, I believe it was, down to Elijah when he was there on that brook, Cherith, I believe it was. I may be wrong, but when he was in that beside that brook there, and he would send birds down for him to eat. He had place for him to drink. When that brook ran out because of the drought that had hit the world, then he sent him to another place. Now, coming from the wilderness, as we talked earlier about his beloved coming out of the wilderness, would tend to indicate, or most definitely, that at some point she had to go in the wilderness. Now, this is some things that are not that much fun sometimes for we as God's people. Now, God did not promise that all days would be rosy. He did not promise that all days would be good. He did not promise that our lives would not be wrought with many, many trials. The scriptures teach us that our life is a few days and full of troubles. Now, I don't want to be negative here. This is just what the scriptures teach. But he did say that he would take care of us and watch over us. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you always, as he's saying to his bride, until the end of the world. Now, Moses was 40 years old, and he grew up in in Egypt in the Pharaoh's house. He had everything that he could possibly have that was able to be obtained at that time. There was nothing that Moses could not lay his hands on if he did not want them. He ate the finest. He had the finest. I could see those as very carefree days for Moses. And then when he began to think of his people and what had happened to his people, and we see how that he killed an Egyptian there and how that he had to flee. Now, at that point, it seemed like Moses thought that he could handle everything himself. And that's our way of thinking sometimes. Lord, I can handle this. I'm strong enough for this. You don't have to help me with this. It's just like a child. And we're like that with the Lord. Well, Lord, I can handle this. I don't need you today. This is pretty simple. I feel like Moses was a lot like that. He killed that Egyptian, then he went running for his life. Fear for what might happen to him. He's in the wilderness. 40 years. God came to him in a burning bush. Do you see the difference in Moses, what going through the wilderness does? It made him go from I can do it to, Lord, I can't do it. And that's what he's looking for in our lives. He don't want you to come to him saying, Lord, I can do it. He wants you to come say, I'm leaning on you, Lord, because I can't do it. Jehoshaphat said, Lord, I don't know about this mighty company, the king of Judah. I don't know about this mighty company that's coming upon us. But one thing I do know, my eyes are upon you, and I'm looking to you, and I can't do this. I can't do this myself. He came out of the wilderness, and we tend to criticize Moses because of all the questions that he had. That's because of the change that had been wrought in him as he was in the wilderness. A change of, till he got to the point, Lord, I can't do any of these things. I can't speak well. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. He was exactly where he needed to be. Now, I'll turn over to Jeremiah in the 17th chapter and the 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the hart in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. He shall be as a tree that's planted by the waters. Those that put their trust in the Lord. You don't have to be strong before the Lord. That's not what he wants. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. When you're in that condition, the Lord can use you. And when you think you can do it yourself, he'll just show you can't. As he's shown me before as well. The whole nation of Israel. God was trying to take them to the promised land, and maybe 2 years or less, they found themselves right there, the Jordan River. He sent a one from each tribe over there to check it out from the 12 tribes. And two of them said, Joshua and Caleb, we can take it. God has provided this for us. It's a good land, and let us take it right now. And 10 of them said, oh, yes, it's a good land, and we brought the fruits of it, but we cannot do this. We are as grasshoppers compared to those people. They feared man instead of fearing God. And the scriptures teach us it's better to fear God than to fear man. They could not enter in because of their unbelief. They had to go to the wilderness. And many times we have to go through the wilderness for those same purposes. Okay, they went from murmuring and complaining and all of that saying that went on there when all of those and the curse that was put on all of those that were 20 years old and older at the time, they all died in the wilderness. It took another generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, as they entered over Jordan. You see, as a nation, how disobedient, unfaithful they were. They thought they could do that themselves. And even after they had done this, and people of that group says, let us go take it now. And Moses says, you can't do it now. They still did not understand. They had to pass through the wilderness. And the next thing you know, they're marching 40 years later. They're marching across Jordan. And then they're marching around their enemy, Jericho, shouting the praises of God. Not a weapon in their hands. Blowing horns. That's because they were leaning upon the Lord and they learned that. Now, I'm not saying how long that your wilderness journeys may last. It may last only a few days. It may last for a week. It may last for a few months. And your journey sometime may take years. I have my own wilderness journey, and I'm not going to go into it that much. But it was the darkest, blackest time of my life, and it lasted for a few years. But I tell you one thing, when I had passed through it, I was leaning upon my Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. I could, some of them more had a better memory than me could, but you could go through the scripture, go on and on and on and on about that very subject, and it says basically the same thing in 100 different ways. Trust the Lord. Fear not. And I'm going to straighten up something. Some say that fear not is in the Bible 365 times. It is not. What I can find and what I can study and from what I've read, it's about 80 or 90 times it says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be fearful and afraid. Don't be unbelieving and afraid. Paul also told the church at Philippi, and he had nothing, very little correction to them, and mainly praise. He said, be anxious for nothing. And those times in my wilderness, at times I would get very, very anxious. Be anxious, be fearful, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. They always say that regret is in the past and anxiety is about the future. It's a little disturbing sometimes. We don't know what tomorrow will hold for us. We don't know the possibilities of it, and we don't know the tragedies of it, and it's a good thing that we don't. It's a really good thing that we don't. But that uncertainty of those things can sometimes make us anxious. Well, why he's able to say this and why he was able to do this himself. He says, I'm content wherever I'm at, whether I'm eating, whether I'm hungry, prison, whatever's going on, I'm content. Because he was serving Jehovah Jireh, the one that can see into tomorrow. Say you're on a journey and you've got a wall, and it's really unsettling what might be over that wall, and someone says, well, I'll scale the wall and I'll let you know what's going on, or someone in the wilderness or in the Amazon area, and what they do, many times they'll climb a tall tree and so they can get a view of things around them. Well, someone climbed the wall and look over, well, it looks good to me. Let's go. That's the way it is with the Lord. If He's fine with it, we ought to be fine with it. If He says it's okay, then we ought to be okay with it, whatever that it is. I'm not saying I handled everything properly in the desert. I know that I didn't. And I know that my faith was terribly, terribly weak. Doubts and fears and confusion and all of those things, and all of the darkness that went on with it. But He let me come out of that. And I realize now that I had to do it. There's no doubt in my mind. It had to happen. So that I would lean on Him more. Trust Him more. Look to Him more for all the things that I need. I've got one more verse. And I want you, if you can, to write it down. And it's one that I'm going to try to put to heart. I never have. But it would be one to pull out in time of trouble. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I am going to try to commit this to heart. And then when these fears begin to encroach, when these doubts begin to come in, when I'm doubting whether God is going to provide for me, whether I'm doubting if God is going to be with me, whether I'm doubting anything about God, that I'll read this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What more could He do for us? He's saying, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about anything. For I am with thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. And I will be thy right hand of my righteousness. Lean on Him. Lean hard. You say, I don't want to do that. We need to. In a church, we need to. We need to lean upon the Lord. Together we need to lean upon Him, expecting nothing without Him and expecting everything with Him. Said there was a man when they were down there building the nuclear plant in Trousel County that never come to fruition, that to fall asleep on work would be immediate dismissal. And he was leaned over on the wall. If the wall had moved, he would have fallen. And they come up behind him and call out his name. He said, Amen. Trying to prove to them that he was praying rather than sleeping. That's thinking fast on your feet. What is it when you lean hard? When you lean hard, whether it's against a tree or a wall or anything else, leaning hard means if that structure or if that tree or whatever it is that you're leaning against is suddenly moved, you suddenly fall. That you relax all of your muscles, that you give way completely to that you are leaning on. That's what he wants. And it said that she come out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved. And he rejoiced over it. Our Lord is strong. Our captain can subdue thousands and ten thousands of thousands. Our God can call legions of angels down. He said that he could when he was up on the earth. But now he's at the right hand of the power of God. What do you think he can do now? A God is not limited in anything by scope, by time, by measure, by weight, or by wealth. Let's lean on him for everything.